our Jewish brothers and sisters, there's a discrepancy in this year's calendar, but they will be gathering in a few weeks to celebrate the Feast of Passover, the Passover that we hear about in today's first reading. It is a high feast for them. It is one of three major feasts where in the ancient times, the times of Jesus, those that were able-bodied were required to go to Jerusalem, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. There they would gather in the worship, but especially the Feast of Passover. The Passover was the start of their salvation, was the start of the gift of God. And we hear about that in today's first reading, as we might be familiar with the 10 plagues of that Moses had through God, because God had told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. 10 different plagues, and the last one being this Passover, that the angel of death would pass over and would take the firstborn of every family, except of those houses that were marked with the blood of the Lamb. And God instructed Moses to instruct the people to keep that Passover as a memorial. Now, for us, that might not mean much. We might just think it's a nice thing. We have memorials. How many of us have gone out and about? We see the little memorial signs alongside the roads. So-and-so has slept here during the Revolutionary War. We don't see those around here. Or this is where this battle was fought. Or this is where this town stood. Or this is where, in New Ulm, especially this during the Dakota conflicts, this is where this happened and this is where that happened. It's just a memory, nothing more. But in the Jewish mindset, the ancient mindset, a memorial was something deeper. A memorial was not just a memory, but a memory that we entered into in mystery, that we drew back into that time, into that very action that we're calling to mind, that memory now has meaning in our life, that is active, present, here. So our Jewish brothers and sisters, as they celebrate their Passover feast, usually it's one of the youngest among them asks, "What's different about this night?" And they begin to tell the story of the Passover, to remind themselves that while they physically, they themselves had not been enslaved, but they were enslaved in Egypt. And how God led them out in power, led them to Mount Sinai, gave them the law, led them through the Red Sea, and drowning Pharaoh's foes and forces, all who stood against them were drowned. We will hear about that on, of course, Saturday as we gather and celebrate the great vigil of our Lord's resurrection. But this Passover is a memorial. And sometimes we forget. We use a title for what we celebrate tonight, and we have pictures of it. It's called the Last Supper. And that's fine, except it makes it sound so ordinary. And we might ask, what was so different about that meal at that Last Supper? And the answer would come the same as the answer received by those eating the Passover feast, because it was a Passover feast. Now, there's a discrepancy at the time, and St. John doesn't record that it necessarily was a Passover meal that they were having, because he records that the next day, as our Lord hung upon the cross, across town, on the other side of Jerusalem, on a hill, Moriah, the sheep were being slaughtered for the Passover. Jesus, on the other side of the town, outside the city, outside the gates, outside the walls, on Mount Calvary, Golgotha, gave himself, was slaughtered for us. He's the Passover feast that we receive. Jesus, knowing this memorial, knowing this Passover, took it, and he blessed it. in a very real way, broke it. And I use that word purposely. It makes it sound like he destroyed it. No, he didn't. He deconstructed it, and that's a nice fancy word that we hear all over the place. You know, deconstructed the hot dog or whatever it is, and whatever, or deconstructed theology or whatever. But here, he deconstructed it to its very root, a memorial, a remembrance of being drawn back into mystery. And of course, he's looking ahead to something that he tells them, do this in memory of me, as we hear in today's second reading, that when they gather for that Eucharist, that they are drawn to that moment, both in that upper room, at that last Passover supper, and to the cross that gave that Passover supper a new meaning, a new effect in our lives. A Passover meal that was not just celebrated once a year, but was celebrated every time we gathered as a church, gathered to celebrate the Mass. The apostles at the time probably had no clue of necessarily what was happening until they all put it together until maybe that first Easter Sunday as Jesus came and breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Then seeing it all put together. Personally, I think those on the road to Emmaus saw and understood what our Lord was doing from that first moment. Because at that Last Supper, he gave, of course, us, the church, the Eucharist. Take, eat. This is my body. Take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. He gave them that as a foretaste, but as a memorial, so that when we gather, we stand in mystery at the foot of the cross. No longer at Moriah, where the Passover lambs were sacrificed year after year. Not only in Mount Moriah at the Temple Mount, where offerings for sin offerings, purification offerings, thanksgiving offerings were offered year after year, day after day, month after month. But now, the Eucharist offered, that we stand at the foot of the cross in mystery. So often we forget so easily. And it sounds odd. It might sound a little scandalous to say this, but when we come to Mass, we are time travelers. That all of us travel back and stand at the foot of the cross. We stand at the foot of the cross with everyone who's come before us. The Apostle John and the Blessed Mother, Peter and Paul, all the saints, and all those unnamed, those who have died and gone before us. We stand with those who have not yet received the faith. Maybe those that are born that haven't entered the church. And we stand with those that are yet unborn. As St. John Paul II tells us, the Blessed Sacrament is a cosmic affair. That always and everywhere, there is one Mass. There is only one Mass. Do we really believe this? That we enter into the one eternal Mass, memorial. And that Mass that we enter gives us salvation. That we stand before our Lord, Him crucified. Not that He's crucified again, or not that He's still on the cross in time and space, but a mystery in that one time on that Good Friday as He stood broken for us. He took bread, He blessed it, He broke it, and He gave it. This is exactly what He does with the Passover feast, deconstructing it for us to help us to understand the new memorial, the new covenant, the new testament that He was to give. In St. John's Gospel, though, he records something else. He records something that I think we as priests especially need to remember. It's something that some of my brother priests have honestly forgotten. It's something that I maybe too easily forget too. That we're called to lives of service. And it's not just for us, of course, as priests, but it's for all of us as Catholics, as Christians, that we are called to lives of service. That our Lord would stoop to such a degree that he would wash feet. An act in the ancient world that was almost scandalous to even untie somebody else's shoes was scandalous. And St. John the Baptist saying, I'm not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. And yet our Lord washes the feet of the apostles, including Judas. Did you catch that? Our Lord does not make distinction between the worthy and the unworthy when it comes to service. He just simply stoops and washes in humility. And we are called to serve. So often, we might forget this. Not only does our Lord give us the model, not only does our Lord give us the Eucharist that we celebrate this night, but our Lord gives us a great gift of the priesthood, something we have to hold on to, and something that, honestly, our world has forgotten. And maybe it comes with the scandals that we've witnessed in the last 20-some years, and we've done it to ourselves. But as priests, we are to be conformed to Jesus Christ, who would humble himself to such a degree, not only to wash feet, but to give his life as ransom for many, that those who come would be redeemed. St. Paul VI, Paul VI, wrote a wonderful homily in which he reminds us that as priests, we stand in the person of Jesus Christ, and we say, this is my body. I mean, you're not receiving me, thank God. You're receiving our Lord. But as priests, we're configured to Jesus Christ in a unique way that we stand and we say the words. When you come to the sacrament of reconciliation, I don't say our Lord absolves you, but I say I absolve you. But it's not me, it's the Lord who speaks through me. When you're baptized, we don't say the Lord baptizes you, but I baptize you. All the sacraments that we celebrate as priests, we stand in the person of Jesus Christ because we are configured to him. And while it's not incredibly comfortable to think about, but Judas was there at that Last Supper, that last Passover, and he turned away from the Lord. How sad that is, that our Lord could give him the Blessed Sacrament and him not recognizing it. But perhaps it's a reminder to us that we have to discern well what it is we receive, better yet, who it is we receive when we come. That we're not just calling to mind, we're not just play-acting, imagining, envisioning, hoping, wishing, dreaming, but that we are standing at the foot of Jesus Christ at his cross, that we're drawn in mystery into that one eternal sacrifice that has infinite grace, and that it is calling us to be transformed. Just as our Lord took the Passover, took it, blessed it, broke it, and gave it, just as he took that Passover feast, blessed it, broke it, blessed it, broke it, gave it, and took it, blessed, broke, gave. He's taking us. He's blessing us. He's breaking us of our pride and giving us out too. This is why St. Augustine can say, you are what you receive. Or as our current health fields will say, you are what you eat. He's talking about the Blessed Sacrament. that we become the body of Christ because we receive the body of Christ. Again, St. John Paul II telling us, we are the church because the Eucharist makes us soul. We are the body of Christ because the Eucharist makes us soul. All of it begins at that last Passover feast of our Lord. All of it is given power through what we are about to celebrate tomorrow, and given its strength through his resurrection.